and that is on page 26, where the Siddur tells us, "Le'olam yehe adam yirei shamayim b'seiser uvagalay." A person always has to make sure to be a yirei shamayim, to be someone who fears God, both in private and in public. And then, not only to be someone who fears God, but also umoda al ha'emes, a person who is able to be acknowledging of the truth. When you do something wrong, you're willing to admit that you have failings. V'dover emes bilvavo, v'yashke miyomer, and therefore you should get up every day and say the following. So, before we get into breaking down exactly what this tefillah is all about, and why it is phrased the way it is phrased, and where exactly it came from, what is the development of this tefillah, and what exactly is it doing here in the beginning of the Siddur, to me, I think it's important that we first give a little bit of an introduction this evening about what does it mean to be a Yirei Shamayim. La'olam Yehei Adam Yirei Shamayim. It is important for a person to be a Yirei Shamayim. So for that, I think we need to turn our attention to a couple of psukim throughout the Torah and throughout Navi, in which we are told a little bit about how important it is for all of us to have this notion, this idea, this sense of Yiras Shamayim. And after that, I would like to learn through a piece together, a drasha that I found that Dr. Lamb wrote 50 years ago. And it made such a profound impression on me, not 50 years ago, I was not here, but it made a profound impression on me when I first saw it, and I hope it will do the very same in trying to explain something that is a very timely issue, which is why I wanted to skip to this part of the Siddur for tonight, because this is very relevant to Parsha Zachar that we're going to read next week in anticipation for Purim. So if you look at the first sheet, you'll find we have a pasuk in Sefer Devarim, where the pasuk says, Ve'atah Yisrael, Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to us. And as we know, Sefer Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu's final opportunity to have an address with the Jewish people. So he's telling us everything that's important for us to know before he passes. So he says the following, Ve'atah Yisrael, after all that I've said, and after boiling it down, what am I going to tell you? What's the instruction? Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mi'imach. What does God ask of you? Now I can say a long answer to that question. There are many things that God asks of us. Many things that He asks us to do, and many things that He asks us not to do. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, if I would be able to boil it down just to one very cryptic sentence to figure out what exactly does God ask of you, Moshe Rabbeinu answers, it's very simple. Ki im liyira es Hashem Elokecha. You want to boil down everything that we do? Kiim liyiras Hashem Elokecha. Yiras Shamayim is the most important. Lalechas b'chal derachav, to walk in all of His ways. Le'ahava oso, v'labod es Hashem Elokecha b'chal levavcha u'v'chal nafshecha. If you develop a sense of Yiras Shamayim, everything else falls into place. My father has told me on many occasions that there are so many discussions nowadays about trying to figure out how we are going to guard our teenagers or our young children from figuring out how to fall into the terrible difficulties that we all have when we deal with the internet. So as adults, we make choices. Some adults make poor choices on how they use the internet, but children don't have the clarity of thought like adults do sometimes, and they can make mistakes sometimes much easier than adults can. And the question is, how do we deal with that? And that's what all the educators are trying to deal with. I'm not a professional, I'm not an educator that knows the answer to this question, I don't know. But my father has told me on many occasions, he thinks that one of the big mistakes that we're doing when we deal with this issue is, we are not teaching our children to have Yiras Shamayim. One of the easy answers that would be to all of these problems is, if we instill into our children a sense of Yiras Shamayim, that God is a presence in their lives. If they understood that God is always there, and if we as adults understood that Yiras Shamayim is supposed to be the most important factor of everything that we do, of every decision that we make in our lives, then many of these other issues would not really present themselves. They wouldn't be issues. And this is why Yiras Shamayim is so important. And this is why Moshe Rabbeinu says, if I had to boil down everything that God expects of us to do in life, it is ki im liyiro so. First and foremost, the person has to have Yiras Shamayim, which is why we open up our tefillah every day with this paragraph on page 26, which very often we don't think about. But the opening words are, La'olam yehe adam yirei shamayim. A person needs to make sure that they develop a sense of fear of heaven, of Yiras Shamayim, of understanding what it means to have a sense of godliness, a presence of the Ribono Shel Olam in our lives. Let's go to the pasuk in Tehillim. Reishis Chachma. You want to know what it means to be a wise person. You want to know what does it mean to be on a path of wisdom? Yiras Hashem. The first thing, says David HaMelech in Tehillim, to being considered a wise individual is Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. Is the first thing you need to know is you have to develop a sense of Yiras Shamayim. Furthermore, the Pasuk in Mishlei, written by Shlomo HaMelech, writes, number Gimel, Yiras Hashem Tosef Yamim, Usnos Rishayim Tiktsarna. My father always explained to us as children, and as his students, he taught us all the time, that generally psychologists will tell you when a person lives in fear, so that is going to limit their lifespan, because you're always living, looking over your shoulder, you're nervous, you're paranoid. That is not a normal way to live life. But here the Pasuk tells us, Yiras Shamayim does not mean that you live a life where you're always trembling, that you live a life where you're always looking over your shoulder and worrying. That's not what it means. Says the Pasuk in Sefer Mishlei, to the contrary, Yiras Hashem Tosef Yamim. When a person lives a life of Yiras Shamayim, it adds, it enhances the lives that we live. It doesn't take away. And it does not give us a shorter life expectancy, like the person who lives a life of paranoia that's never able to be comfortable in their surroundings. No, says the Pasuk in Mishlei, when one lives a life of Yiras Shamayim, that will be the greatest guarantee for the person to have even a longer life. And finally, we know in Sefer Mishlei, in the very famous last chapter, when we read the Eishes Chayil, what are we told? This great woman that we have so much praise for, Sheker Achein Vehevel HaYofi. The woman is beautiful and everything's great. That's all important. But it pales in comparison, because the most important thing, the most important virtue in a human being is Isha Yiras Hashem Hi Tisal. Who do we give value to in life? Obviously, everybody has characteristics that make them unique, that make them special. But what really makes a person extremely unique is the fact that a person develops a sense of Yiras Shamayim. And there says the Pasuk in Mishlei, Isha Yiras Hashem, Hi Tishalel. And finally, the last Pasuk that we'll read before we get into the rest of the discussion is the Pasuk in Sefer Koheles. Sof Davar HaKol Nishma. Koheles, as we know, talks about all the various venues in life that we go through. And it talks about all the different moments and the exciting moments and the little more depressing moments. And we have all kinds of different things that we go through and all kinds of experiences that shake us in different directions. But here, bottom line, Sof Davar HaKol Nishma, this is the very last pasuk, the very last verse in Sefer Koheles, where we're told, if you want to sum up the matter, I wrote the English here. When all is said and done, Es Elokim Yira Ves Mitzvosav Shemar Kizeh Kol HaAdam. Es Elokim Yira, if you want to sum everything up, you want to understand what is the greatest way to live through life and to go through the journey of life in the most positive way that you possibly can. Es Elokim Yira Ves Mitzvosav Shemar Kizeh Kol HaAdam. And this is why I believe in our tefillah every single day, we offer in the very beginning pages of the tefillah, we offer this reminder to ourselves, La'olam Yehe Adam Yirei Shamayim. This is not a prayer to God when we say this statement. This is something which is supposed to serve as a reminder to ourselves. We should make sure that we enhance our sense of Yirei Shamayim, because if we don't remember to do that, everything in our lives is considered to be deficient. Everything in our lives is considered to be lacking, because Yirei Shamayim, as we said, is the most important thing. This is something Moshe Rabbeinu taught us already in Sefer Dvarim. It's something David HaMelech reiterates time and again in Sefer Tehillim. It's something the great wise man Shlomo HaMelech teaches us in Sefer Mishlei. And then once again in Koheles, they sum it all up and say, Sof Davar HaKol Nishma, this is what it's all about. Ki Zeh Kol HaAdam, this is what life is all about. And this is what will make you have a successful and a meaningful life in the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam. So now, with that in mind, I'd like to turn our attention to the next side of the page, which I hope you'll find this meaningful. I was so moved when I read this, because I feel, yeah, paragraph. And the reason why I think this is a very beautiful piece is, number one, because it's just meaningful to the point that we're trying to make, but also because it is very relevant to the upcoming Yom Tov of Purim. As we know, Purim was our struggle, was our fight with Amalek. But that was not the first time that we had an encounter, an engagement with Amalek. This already dated back to Parshas Beshalach, right after we came out of Mitzrayim. Vayavo Amalek vayilachim im Yisrael berefidim. Amalek comes and tries to wage war against the Jewish people as they were coming out of Mitzrayim. And this is something that we have an obligation to remind ourselves of every year, because we assume that this is an ongoing battle. The Jewish people versus Amalek is something that God is a continuous battle with us against the nation of Amalek. So let's read over here the following insight. The battle of Israel against Amalek described at the very end of today's Sedra, which is Parshas B'Shalach, is of more than local significance as a minor detail in the ancient history of our people. Meaning, the story of Amalek is not just a story that once happened like every other story. The story of Amalek is something that has a far greater significance. Now, why is it that it should be a far greater significance than any other story that we read in Tanakh? So he writes as follows. The Torah itself refers to this engagement as a war by the Lord against Amalek from generation to generation. The Pasuk says, Melchanama lahashem ba'amalek midor dor. That this is an ongoing battle against Amalek that doesn't seem to ever end. So therefore, it should pique our curiosity a little bit what exactly is going on with this war that we are constantly engaged in. Amalek throughout history has come to represent to us the very symbol of evil, of heartlessness, of cruelty, of godlessness, and of anti-Semitism. It is therefore of interest to note that in entering upon this crucial episode in the life of Israel, obviously this is a very consequential moment for the Jewish people, this is the first engagement with our enemy that we will continuously be engaged with for the rest of our history, with so much meaning for future generations, isn't it strange that Moshe departs from his usual procedure? What do we mean? He, the great military chieftain and warrior of Israel, who had led the campaign against Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's negotiating with Paro, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's taking the Jews out of Egypt, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's fighting with the Egyptian that got the whole problem started, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who took us out of Mitzrayim and who walked us through the Yam Suf, and he's doing everything, and just now completed the exodus from the house of slavery. All of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu did not personally lead his troops in battle against Amalek. Isn't that strange? If this is the most important battle that is going to be the ongoing battle of the Jewish people, isn't it strange that the great leader Moshe Rabbeinu suddenly is nowhere to be found? He did not give the task over to any accomplished general. Instead, he turned to his disciple Yehoshua and asked him to undertake the leadership in this historic battle. Why did not Moshe himself lead his troops? Why does he send Yehoshua? Our rabbis too were troubled by this question, and, line 36, the answer they give is of paramount significance for our lives and the lives of Jews of all generations. This is what they say. So this is a direct quotation from the Medrash and Shemos Rabbah, and I think it's a profound comment to the Medrash, and the interpretation he gives of it is absolutely unbelievable and timeless. Lama li Yehoshua, asked the Medrash. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu all of a sudden take a back seat, and now he decides to send Yehoshua in his place? While he's fighting against Paro, he never sends Yehoshua. While he's taking the Jews out of Mitzrayim, no one else does the job. It's Moshe Rabbeinu himself doing everything that God instructs him to do. All of a sudden, we're faced with our most vicious enemy. What, Moshe Rabbeinu is afraid? He can't engage in battle by himself? He can't lead anymore? Did something happen? And immediately after the story is over, Moshe Rabbeinu goes back to doing the regular things that a leader is supposed to do. So what was it about this story of Amalek that leads Moshe Rabbeinu to feel that he is inadequate, that he doesn't belong there, and that his star disciple Yehoshua is the proper person for the job? Amar Lei, he answers him as follows. Zekeinecha Amar, your ancestor, Yosef HaTzadik was the ancestor of Yehoshua ben Nun. So your ancestor, Yosef, said, Es Elokim Ani Yarei. Yosef HaTzadik is the one who says, I fear God. Uvazek Siv, and when we come to the engagement with Amalek, we are told, Velo Yirei Elokim. Amalek comes, and there mantra is, Velo Yirei Elokim, we do not fear God. Says the Medrash, who is the most powerful person who can fight against an enemy that says, we have no godliness to us at all? We have no Yirei Shamayim. The only one who's adequately fit to fight that is the one whose ancestor said, Es HaElokim Ani Yirei. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to send Yehoshua, because he's the one who belongs fighting against that enemy. Look at line 46. Yehoshua, unlike Moshe, was descended from Yosef, of whom the Bible says that before he revealed himself to his brothers, he declared to them, Es HaElokim Ani Yarei, I fear God. Yehoshua, like his grandfather Yosef, was a deeply religious individual who openly proclaimed his religiousness. Es HaElokim Ani Yarei. He was therefore particularly appropriate as the leader of Israel in this encounter with Amalek. For of Amalek it is said, Velo yirei Elokim. And the greatest way that we can go and battle against our enemy that says, Velo yirei Elokim, is to say, Es ha'elokim ani yare. Line 64. What our rabbis meant to teach us then was a principle as permanent as it is profound and as pertinent today as it was then. They meant to tell us that the way to battle the way of life of Amalek is not by compromising your principles with his, not by meeting his ideology halfway, but on the contrary, by sharpening the ideological encounter, by confronting his godlessness with your godliness, his vice with your virtue, and his evil with your good. Such an amazing and profound lesson from such a simple question of the Medrash. Do not conceal your ideals or pale down your principles, or dilute your standards when challenged by Amalek. When Amalek declares arrogantly, Velo yirei Elokim, that I do not fear God, you must proclaim proudly, with a voice loud and clear, Es ha'elokim ani yare. I do fear God. It is the only way to triumph over the Amaleki forces in our lives. Only by being a Yehoshua, by inheriting the fearless godliness of a Yosef, can you hope to establish victory over the godlessness of Amalek. And listen how he applies it to American civilization and to society as we know it today. When Judaism was first confronted with godless and Torahless Amalekism of the modern day, about 150 years ago, at the beginning of that era called the Emancipation, it found itself largely incapable of effectively engaging the opponent in battle. The modern spirit, with it, despite its many noble, progressive, and humane features, also brought cynicism, the rejection of the Jewish uniqueness. The assertion that the spirits of free inquiry must necessarily deny Torah and a personal God. This spirit made inroads into the ghetto, it destroyed its walls, and it threatened to capture the very fortresses of Judaism. And we know this to be true. And look how many Jews went along with that movement. Initially, line 108, authentic Jews reacted in two ways, both of which were inadequate. The first way was to shy away from the battle. It was the way of isolation, of a desperate will to return to a physical and spiritual ghetto, oblivious to all modernity. This point of view represented those who thought that they could escape Amalek by simply ignoring him. Amalek is never going away. Our enemies, our detractors, are never going away. You cannot ignore them. But this was not in keeping with the tactics of a Yehoshua, or the ideas of a Moshe who said clearly, Bichar lanu anashim, vitzei hilachem im Amalek. Moshe Rabbeinu clearly sets down the rules. When Amalek comes to fight us, he says, Bichar lanu anashim, we're going to carefully choose the right people, and we are going to go and engage in battle with them. We're not going to ignore them. We're not going to shy away from the challenge. We are going to engage. The method of the Bible was to face up to Amalek, not to ignore his existence. Line 125. The second approach was diametrically opposed to the first. It held that the only way successfully to meet Amalek in battle was, so to speak, to bribe him, to yield the character of Jewishness and compromise it with the character of what it means to be an Amaleki, to whittle down the principles of Torah and accept some of the ways of Amalek. Thus, many Jews forgot that Velo Yirei Elohim can be defeated only by presenting a stronger Es HaElokim Ani Yarei. And he posits that that is the only way to fight the Amalek of any given generation. They forgot that godlessness can be met only with godliness. And so they chose the wrong weapon with which to decide the great battle of modern history. For this is indeed what happened. They tried to deal with the Amalekim of modernity by having less Yiras Elokim, less prayer, less Torah, less enthusiasm. Synagogue was threatened by Amalek, kind of house of worship. The authentic Jewish character of a synagogue was somehow out of place in the scene of America with its pressure for uniformity, the melting pot psychology, and so we responded by the diminution of Yiras Elokim, we de-Judaized the character of the synagogue and adopted all the trappings of the Christian church. We compromised by making our synagogues less Jewish. Foolishly, we tried to win over Amalek by reducing our own strength. We were like an army threatened by a strong opponent, which instead of building up its arsenal, panics and throws its weapons away. When would an army ever do such a thing? It makes no sense. You have so much that you stand for, so much that you represent, and so much that you can defend yourself, and you just throw it all away when it comes time to engage in battle. We have learned that when faced with an enemy whose standard is Velo Yirei Elokim, if that's what their mantra is, that's what they're all about, godlessness, the only way to succeed against him is by increasing our own Yirat Elokim, our own devotion to Torah and to God, and by proclaiming in proud opposition, Es HaElokim Ani Yirei. That is the only way to win. Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. The only way to battle against all of our so many adversaries that we have faced throughout the millennia. Orthodoxy today must return to the advice of Moshe and to the strategy of Yehoshua. We must not flee from the fight, and we must not run from the encounter. The best of the modern world is not strange to us. We have abandoned the ghettos forever and have taken to heart the words of Moshe. Bechar lanu anoshim v'tzehi lachem im Amalek. We are living in the modern world as businessmen, as scientists, as physicians, as novelists, and to a great extent we have helped to shape part of the modern world. We have engaged the forces of godlessness with a doubly renewed effort of godliness. We have decided to advance in the name of Torah and go forth proudly and confidently on behalf of Yiras Elokim. We have learned to be tough without being rough, to be aggressive without being offensive, to disagree without being disagreeable. We have learned to proclaim everywhere we go, Es HaElokim Ani Yirei. I think this is so profound. We have weapons in our hand, but they are neither those of fear and coercion nor those of submission and surrender. Our strongest and our best weapon is Yiras Elokim, which means more religion, more devotion to Torah, and more Jewishness. Yaakov Avinu, one of the great Avos, runs away from his house, and he has an experience which is recorded in Chumash. He comes to the holiest, most dignified, most sanctified place in the world, and he falls asleep. And we're told that he has a dream. V'hine malachei Elohim olim v'yardim bo. And he has malachim going up and down. And he wakes up, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso. Yaakov Avinu wakes up and he says, Achein Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, v'anochi lo yadati. Yaakov Avinu says, had I known that there was godliness here, I never would have gone to sleep. And he wakes up and he's in a tizzy and he's startled. He can't believe it, that he has just had an encounter with God himself. One of the Mefarshim explains that perhaps what Yaakov Avinu meant to say was the following. He grew up his whole life in the home of his parents. There was godliness in everything he did. And he was under the impression that your relationship with God is one that is reserved for when you're living in the home of the Avos, for when you're in the shul, for when you're in the Beis Medrash. That's where you find God, and that's where you relate to him. Yaakov Avinu now is on the first journey of his life outside of that epicenter of spirituality that he grew up in. And he's no longer having this opportunity to bask in the great glory of his father and his grandfather and to have this very close encounter with God that he always experienced every time he walked out of his bedroom at home. He doesn't have that anymore. Now he runs away. And he says, wow, I can't believe it. Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh? Is there in fact supposed to be a presence of God even here? In everything I do? In every journey of my life? In every experience and every encounter that I have? And that was what amazed Yaakov Avinu after he left the home of his parents. That was something that never dawned upon him. That I'm supposed to find a place where God is comfortable even in my day-to-day life? Reb Zevin writes in his commentary on Chumash, in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Truma, we are told that we're supposed to take all different kinds of items. We're supposed to take zahav, v'chesef, unachoshes. God asks us to build a mishkan, and he asks us to take so many material items and donate them for the cause, for the purpose of a mishkan. And that's what everyone did. Everyone gave all their jewelry, all the gold and the silver. But how do we refer to this week's parsha? What is it referred to as? Parshas Truma. What is the shoresh of the word Truma? Rome. To raise. Resh Vav Mem. Because the life of a Jew is all about taking all of the experiences that we have. All of the things that might seem to us like a malik, all of the things that might be a great challenge. Yes, money can be a great challenge for people. But we have the ability to take all of that with our Yiras Shamayim, with our understanding of what God wants us to do, with everything that He puts us through in life, we have the ability to say, V'yikhu li truma. We're going to elevate it all. This is the reason why this finds itself immediately after the Parsha of Kabbalah Satorah. Parshas Yisro and Mishpatim are all about the giving of the Torah. We read Nasav and Ishmael last week's Parsha, and the Medrash tells us, the Gemara has the story, that Chazal say that on the occasion of the giving of the Torah, God wanted to give the Torah to the Jewish people, but there was some holdup in heaven. The angels didn't want.
What do they need it for?
What do they need it for is a good question, but the angels said, Tein hodcha al ha-shamayim, what are you giving your Torah to human beings? What are they going to do with it? They're just going to defile the Torah. They're going to make a disgrace out of you. Why should you give it to them? But God ultimately won out, obviously. God had His way, and He gives us the Torah as He originally had planned to do. Our immediate response to the angels is, you know why we're worthy of having the Torah? V'yikhu li truma. We can live in this world. We have a lot of difficulties, and we have a lot of things that are going to be put in our face, and things that are going to be challenging for us. And that's a life that you don't have up there in heaven. You don't have challenges. The angels do not have the challenges that the human beings have on this earth. But we know how to take all of it, everything in our lives, because we develop a sense of Yiras Shamayim as the way to frame every experience of our lives. We have the ability to say, V'yikhu li truma. We can elevate it all. So yes, it's true. The angels didn't want the Jews to have the Torah because we are imperfect human beings. It might be true, it might be correct. But what we do have the ability to do is to take every moment and every experience of our lives and elevate it. V'yikhu li truma, milashon Rome, says Rav Zevin. That is what life is all about. When we have the opportunity next Shabbos to read Parsha Zachar, to remind ourselves of the story that is the ongoing story of the Jewish people, of our encounter, of our engagement, of our battle against Amalek, and it comes in so many different formulations, and every generation is just a different story, but it's a variation of the same old story. We remind ourselves that anyone that faces us and says, V'lo yirei Elokim, we want God out of this picture. We don't want God to be so present as you want Him to be. Our only defense to that can be, Es ha-Elokim ani yirei. Which is the reason, like the Medrash says, why Yehoshua ben Nun is specifically chosen over Moshe Rabbeinu to do this job. Because he's the greatest person to do this job. There is no one greater who can come and stand firmly against these vices of evil and say to them, straight to their face, we are willing to take you on. Bechar lanu anashim v'tzehi lachem ba'amalek. Our job and our task in this world is always to take our troubles and to take our challenges head on, to deal with the challenges and to say, we are finding the right weapons to fight against the evils that come and try to fight us. And so often, if we just break it down, if we just think about it, so often the answer to so many of those questions will be, just develop our sense of Yiras Shamayim. And so many of our problems will be taken care of. So I think this is a very meaningful way to start off, number one, our tefillah every day when we say, Le'olam yehei adam yirei shamayim b'seser uvagaloi. We have an obligation to make sure that we have Yiras Shamayim both inside and out, and we'll talk about the breakdown of the tefillah next week. But also, as you mentioned, there's a reason why we refer to this pasuk right away in the morning with Mode Ani when we say, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, Seichel Tov L'chol Oseim. That this really is something that should be the beginning of every single waking moment of our lives. Because Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, if we don't understand that Yiras Shamayim is the most important key to a successful day in our relationship with God, then there's no way that we can have anything else fall into the right place. So Amir Tzashem, next week, we will